Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. Okie dokie. Love the intro. Welcome back to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. I'm your co-host, Danny Wolf.
I am the co-host, Chris Roberts.
Thrilled to be on again, Chris. How are you doing today?
Yeah, it's a Wednesday, isn't it, today? Today is one of those Wednesdays. It's upside is we're going to do this, and then I'm going to do the normal morning meeting. And then probably go head down to Rocky Mountain InfoSec today, at least for a couple of hours, just to wander around and go say hi to everybody.
Woo! I wish I were there.
Yeah, that would be cool. Well, we get to catch up next week, which would be cool. Yay! As well.
Yes, we are doing a validation panel with a bunch of CISOs in a room with one vendor. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's just say that much.
I feel bad for the vendor. I mean, do they know what the heck they're letting themselves in for?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all about it. Which I'm really stoked about. They really want the feedback and, you know, insights, criticism. We're going to dig in deep, drill down. Cool. And so, yeah, it's going to be, yeah. Yeah. It's nice to see those. Yeah. Nice to see folks interested in getting criticism, constructive criticism.
There
and
we
that's
go.
The, yeah, that's the point of today's episode. Nice segue.
No shit. Oh, what a week. A week it has been already, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, we have a lot to talk about.
For those listening today, welcome back to our original OG listeners and to new listeners. Before we actually dig into the week's drama, to say the least, just a little bit of homework housekeeping items. If you have any questions, do prep those, ping me if you want to come on and validate anything, go through messages, ask questions to me or to Chris. We'll have you on live happily. Other than that, yeah, let's kick it off and sit back, relax, and listen to the drama. So what happened, Chris? Can we kind of like touch that with a 10-foot pole?
Touch it with about a 12-foot pole. No, my bloody luck, their lawyers are probably on the line. So we'll touch it with about a 12-foot barge pole. Let's just put it this way. Okay, so as many of you know, when I get inbound, this is the key critical one, inbound, unsolicited, not asked for emails from vendors. Quite a lot of let's go to the gossip, no shit. Quite a lot of them end up, obviously, some end up in the inbox, some end up in the spam folder. I think it just really depends where they are. And that's the same thing for LinkedIn. Some will end up in the regular ones, some end up as like the email thing, you know, email stuff. So this is unsolicited stuff that's come in, stuff that people I've never heard of before and maybe don't need to or want to hear from without any kind of background research. So for folks that know that, I had / still have, I guess, two default letters. These are ones that I've been sending out for, gosh, Danny, what, a year maybe?
Yeah.
The first one I think we did about a year ago.
Yeah.
And then the second one I did a shorter version. I mean, it's still got some length to it because the whole logic on it is, or has been, shall we say, there's a lot of has-beens on this one. The whole logic on it has been to try to educate, you know, rather than just telling you to go pound sand and wander off into the sunset or jump off a short cliff or something along those lines. It's like, hey, it's basically, dear vendor, this isn't working. And the dear vendor, this isn't working goes into why it isn't working. You know, hey, this is unsolicited. This was an opt. This is opt out, opt in stuff. This is a whole bunch of stuff. And so what ends up happening normally is those just, I'll send those out and I'll send them back from my email account and I'll cut and paste, dear vendor, and I'll do that on a semi-regular basis. Depends on what mood I'm in, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And so occasionally, more often than not, they just disappear. And you never hear back from the individual again, or I never get anything back. You know, whether they accept it, whether they take it, whether they do anything constructive with it. Because the whole logic of this letter is for something constructive to actually occur. Let me actually bring up the, let's see if the dear vendor, let me actually bring up the dear vendor letter. And so the short version of this dear vendor letter really says, hey, let's face it, it isn't working. How do you know it's not working? Because you're getting this. Why? And, you know, I've got six bullet points as to why this isn't working. But then rather than just pound on you and go, hey, it's this bullshit, I actually do a little bit more. I'm like, hey, you can do more due diligence and realize that this isn't how we buy things. You can print this or send it to your marketing and sales team. You can recognize it's not going to be a client, at least not for the foreseeable future. You can give feedback to the folks who wrote your message. Tell them it's falling on deaf ears. You can take a moment to reflect on how to make a more effective first impression. You can give respect to everybody asking, even if they want the propaganda. Bring more honesty, integrity, professional, and transparency. So it's very much of a case, hey, you know, I wish you well, even if you ignore this and hope that eventually things change and everybody realizes this simply isn't working for anybody. It's not an asshole letter. It is a fairly constructive, a little bit blunt, but a fairly constructive letter. So anyway, long story short, that's the letter that used to get sent out from my corporate account as well as some of my personal accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, we hit, what was the end of last week, beginning of this week, whatever it was. I sent one out to an individual who'd been sitting in the message box a couple of times. So they sent the, hey, you know, this is us, this is who we are. Now, what not really complicates, what I think frustrates me a little bit more is the individual from the company in question, former .mil person. So somebody that's used to getting yelled at on a square block of concrete in the middle of bugfuck nowhere at all times of the day and night. So they sent one in, I didn't even see it. The second one came in, which is like, hey, I'm pestering you because I wanted to be at the top of your inbox again. I'm like, all right, you get the dear vendor letter at this point in time, .mil or not. So I sent it and I got a retort. Now, every now and again, I get retorts. Sometimes the retort is, you know, civilized. Hey, look, I took this on board. I actually accept what you said, which is actually rather fantastic. It's really nice. And, you know, and hey, we do this, we do this, we do this. Great. I love it. You read it. Sometimes the retort is, yeah, you could have just unsubscribed. We'll get to that in a minute. This retort was sarcastic, should we say. Sarcastic, a little blunt back, which I can accept. I have no problem with that. And there was a little bit of name calling. In other words, it escalated pretty quickly. Now, I sat on that for a period of time. I don't remember if I sat on it for a day, half a day, or whatever it was. I sat on it, and then I sent a response back. And the response back was like, hey, you're former .mil, you should have thicker skin. Secondly, I never asked for this in the first place, which is why I get it. And I sent three or four other things. At which point...
Which, by the way, were very respectful, I have to say. I saw the whole engagement.
Yeah,
very respectful, very calm.
Because, yeah.
Danny not aggressive, well. Not, you know, confrontational. So
now to add to this one as well, Danny had put the podcast ad that we're all on. Danny put the podcast out on Monday. And yes, I had actually Danny be like, hey, we're gonna have some fun conversations. And I did write a message about, yeah, oh hell yeah, we're gonna have fun conversations, aren't we? And then I named this individual. Limited audience, not in my mainstream, on Danny's post, yada yada yada. Because again, I was gonna do no different than I do now, which is rarely do we name names. There's very few companies that I'll name names. This isn't one of them, and it never would have been. Same with the people.
Yeah.
I don't do it because there's no real cause to do it. We don't need a witch hunt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the next message I got was from them / them being a lawyer, whatever the hell it was. Anyway, it was a cease and desist letter.
Our first cease and desist, well, mine.
Yeah, actually, no, first cease and desist letter for this podcast, definitely. I've had others. I've got a stack of the damn things, unfortunately. But yeah, this is a good one. First cease and desist letter. And it was, the challenge is, if it had just been sent back to me, probably would have been okay. I would have dealt with it. Actually, I probably would have ignored the bloody thing, to be perfectly honest. But it was sent back to myself and senior leadership of the organization that I work for. Most of you know who I work for. It's fairly easy to find it on LinkedIn, let's face it. And it was sent back to a number of folks. I think five or six, if I remember rightly, something along those lines. And so, not good. Not nice, not good. Crazy escalation. Frustrating. I immediately got hold of Danny, and just in case she was in the same shitbox as I was about to be in. So this is where it gets really bad, because, and this is, I put a LinkedIn post out, not about this exactly, but about the why. Because what ended up happening is, so now on one side of the fence, I have an external fight with vendors that I never wanted to hear from in the first place. Let's just start with the easy one. Now on the inside of the fence, there's potential damage control. Upside is some of the leadership of the organization were okay with it, and some were not. Some were not to a point where they questioned why. And to some degree, that's logical and there's thing, but it's not core to the organization. It's not core to what I'm doing. It's not core. And there's this whole, it's not core. Now, I took it personally, and I still am taking it personally. I'm taking it personally, not necessarily against the person that actually instigated it. It is what it is. Shit happens, and I'm done as far as that's concerned. In fact, I think they've blocked me on LinkedIn, at which point I really don't care. But I'm taking it personally from an organization standpoint, because as the CISO for an organization, my job is protection. Let's face it, it's risk management, risk mitigation, and protection. And unfortunately, when I have to protect my own organization against my own industry, that's when I have a bit of a problem with it. And then I have a double problem with it when my own organization says it's not your core job, especially when it comes to dealing with spam. Yes, and here's where I think the post that I put out, when they put that out, I think it was yesterday. Tuesday. Yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I put the post out yesterday morning, the why care. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's interesting because, yeah, when somebody questions, why do you care about something? Why did you walk past the person in the street? Why did you give them something? Why do you give money to Denver Rescue Mission? Why do you look after kids? Why do you not kick dogs? Why do you do these things that you should and or shouldn't do? You have to take that step back and go, why do I care? Do I really care? Am I doing it because it pisses me off? I'm doing it for something larger. Am I doing it to affect change, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you get to a point where you're like, why do I care? And so it started to question why we do this.
Yeah.
And I think that frustrates me because, again, you know, I went back to the organization and said, really? So should I be doing the podcast? Well, you know, I'm like, at that point, I'm like pretty much an up yours moment. Because this is important. And I think why care is because somebody has to.
Yeah.
Why care is because sitting on the sideline doing nothing doesn't change anything. Yelling from the sideline doesn't change anything. Yelling at the affecting people doesn't change anything. Trying to affect change does change something, and all the other stuff. So I think it's, yeah, that it was an interesting and, to be honest, and not a pleasant experience at all in any way, shape, or form. So I'll end there for a second, and Danny, I'll let you. I'm having a cup of tea.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, I was shocked. I was a little worried, lad, to say the least, a little worried because, you know, what we're doing here is just trying to be super constructive and honest about where things need to be improved, right? We're calling out anonymously bad examples, which, you know, I don't think it's such a big deal given it's anonymous. You know, providing that constructive criticism. And then we talked about this, almost 6 months ago when we launched, is my beef on people not just like accepting that feedback and taking a defensive approach when it was just completely respectful, your approach, you know? And I think it's like, you know, it just, it bogs my mind that that's the direction that was taken, because it's not a good reflection on that brand now. And I think this, I don't know who this, I think this person was relatively high in the organization. Founder status.
I think they were founder or co-founder.
Founder status, yeah. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier on in the season, you could take two approaches. You could go down this destructive path, or you could take the feedback path and potentially even maybe even get business by accepting this feedback, right? Or a relationship by accepting this feedback. You know, I think the reason why you and I flourish from a relationship perspective is because I did take the taser, a year and a half, 2 years ago, right? And kind of drilled down and leaned on, okay, well, asking why, like digging into why you care, right? Why do you even care to respond to me in this regard? So, one, I was nervous, but excited because this is good content for the show.
Oh my gosh, good grief, is it? I swear it is. I think it's frustrating, which is, it's frustrating for a number of reasons. It's frustrating because there is progress. And again, I won't name names. In some ways, actually, if they give me permission, probably, I'm not sure if they're listening, if they give me permission, I'll name names. I might actually hit them up. But I've had some fantastic, I had a really freaking good conversation with somebody last week about the whole opt-in, opt-out and the struggle they're having inside the organization. Mm-hmm. And it was a freaking brilliant conversation. I mean, it was just absolutely, I loved the conversation because it is a struggle. Absolutely no two ways about it. It's absolutely a struggle. You've got to get business. You've got to put food on the table. You've got to do it in a very, very careful way if you're doing it properly. Or you just say, fuck it, and spray and pray. You spray 1,000, you get 10, you piss off 990 people that have to hate opt out and all that other shit, and you just don't care. And I've seen that too often, and I saw it. I was a little engaged with somebody on a LinkedIn message. I mean, probably, I think we talked about it last week. Somebody's like, I just don't care. This is how I do it. But there are a lot of other people, and there was somebody I hit. There are a couple of folks who are actually going to be at Rocky Mountain InfoSec this week, who were also of the akin, like, hey, as a company, we have made a decision to be more ethical, to actually say, hey, you're opting in. And I love it because maybe they'll send one message. And I think that's where it's like, hey, we noticed you, we saw you, we got you on a list, we caught you at a conference, we'd love to keep in touch. Time might be ready now, time might not be ready now. Would you like to stay in touch? That I have zero problem with. Mm-hmm. Not, hey, you're opted in, tell me if you want to opt out. Just like, hey, this is probably the only message we're going to send to you unless we hear from you. That to me, or even just something simple like, hey, you walked up to us, you got a business card, we managed to get a swipe from you. Do you mind if we stay in touch? Because here's the other problem I'm noticing with this opt-out shit. And we talked a little bit about this last week about unsubscribe. Here's the thing that's starting to piss me off. And there's a number of organizations which are getting pretty sneaky about it, which is, well, you opted out of our newsletter, but you didn't opt out of our updates, or you didn't opt out of our bi-weekly this, or you didn't opt out of our... There's a list of these fucking things.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, if you go to the website, if you can find the stupid thing, there's an unsubscribe from all, and then you get an are you sure, plus please put your bloody message name in again.
Yeah. Which is, like, good luck finding that.
Oh, my Gideon, no shit, tell me about it.
It's, if they made it at all. Oh, man. Yeah, it's...
This is actually not a bad one. And I'm picking on Brooke. I won't use the last name. Mm. Brooke just hit me up on LinkedIn. I think just connected with her. She's like, hey, I'm fairly new to cybersecurity. I'm curious what's the best way to communicate with you. I've got a solution, security posture, third, fourth party risk management. I'd love to show you, but I do want to be respectful of your time and position. What's the best way to engage? Fucking perfect. Like, seriously, it's not bad. It's like, oh, for crying out loud. But at least it shows respect. Mm-hmm. It's asking a question. It's very, very civilized about it. Like, hey, I'm new to the space. I'm trying to do this. This at least, and this literally came in 2 minutes ago. And it's on LinkedIn. But at least it's done with a level of respect. To go, hey, look, I've done some research. I've seen this one. What's the best way? How can I engage with it? To this, I can go back and say, hey, love the idea, love this. Not looking for something just yet. Do me a favor, ping me in 3 to 6. That's easy, that's simple. There's no like 3 paragraphs of shit to read through because I don't need to read through it. Does that make sense? And that's at least done with a level of respect.
Can we kind of poke the bear on the drama engagement on what ticked you off that got you to... What's like high level? Like, we won't go into detail, but what specifically got you to send Dear Vendor? Again, we could put this in the back seat.
No, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I think there are a few things that ticked me off on this one. And I'm going to go through, there are a few things that ticked me off. I'm actually trying to, the problem is this stupid fucking thing has decided it wants to group message. So I think it was a couple of things. Okay. So the original reason for sending this, and this I think might be the second message or first one, I'm trying to figure out where the message, June the 4th, yeah, I think it was, the first one I think was, okay, first and foremost, you referenced, you came across my profile on LinkedIn. Well, I hate to say it, that's pretty much an opening, that's an opening sentence for about half to two thirds of the messages that come in bad. And was struck by your innovative approach to overcoming industry challenges. Okay, if you were struck by my innovative approaches, you should have already done your research at that point in time. So let's start with the easy one. If you're actually trying to butter me up and tell me that I've got innovative approaches, yes, and all this other stuff, in theory, you've done your research. You know the warning labels. You know the don't piss off rule number one. You know how to approach me. And for crying out loud, you probably should have actually figured out some of the highlight topics and stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, so it resonated with us at the organization where we leverage technology to create new age solutions to age old problems. A little bit iffy, a little bit not iffy. I'd love to learn more about your thoughts on transformative technology and your business strategies. You've got some time later this week. Let's try and connect. So again, you're talking to a CISO. Most of us at the CISO level, or even leadership, if I can, any, most of us in technology at the moment, our calendars are booked several weeks out, at least. Like my Friday afternoons I put aside for the vendor conversations, I'm booking out mid-late June. Because obviously I've got Cyber Week, I've got the UK coming up. We're in June, sorry, mid-late July. New age, like incense and crystals. It says LinkedIn user, whoever the hell it was that put that, I love you. I need that levity. Thank you.
I've been trying to figure out who it is on the actual LinkedIn.
It doesn't, I think it's, show awesome. Me. I love it.
So call out your name, LinkedIn user, because we only see LinkedIn user on our screen. Right,
whoever the hell it is, good call. Thank you. God, I hope it's their lawyer. So here's where it gets, here's where I think it gets frustrating on this one. So, and so here's the other thing that pisses me off on this. Okay. There's a lot of us in the industry who are former .mil, George, no surprise.
Love George.
There are a lot of us in this industry who are former .mil, former .gov. I tried to make light of it that, you know, I jumped out of airplanes, got thrown out of submarines until I got blown up too much. I got a bunch of fucking medals that were awarded. I got a pat on the head from the Queen, all that other stupid shit. Okay, I've been blown up in foreign countries more often than not, but I don't lean on it. I don't use it as a lever to get into a company. I don't use it as a method of getting empathy, sympathy, or anything else, any of that shit. That's just not how I work. Mm. And I expect the same from most others. Now, here's the challenge on this one. What I've got from this individual is organization title, and then military combat vet. I won't use which one because, again, I want to be considerate of their identity because I don't want to fuck it up. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, if you're putting all of this out there, you're going after numerous different votes. You're going after the I've read about you, which you obviously didn't. You're going after the we can help you, and you're going after the empathy vote with a former .mil. Now, I have empathy. I have a lot of other stuff. I typically will give an extra layer of like, hey, let's get them in because I have that layer with me. But it sat on there and I got another one and I'm like, to hell with this. So they got the dear vendor letter. And then after that, unfortunately, I got the retort that came back was not what I expected. And that's just what put me over the edge at that point. I'm like, screw you. And then, you know, I got two retorts back. And I think that's where it gets frustrating because I'm like, all right, I'm trying to be at least half civilized on this thing.
Yeah.
And what I get back isn't. And I think this is back to that physical versus digital world. I have no problem standing up and just talking to somebody. If somebody comes up to me and goes, hi, I've seen your profile on LinkedIn. I think you're innovative and amazing, and I'd love to sell you shit, and here's my dick. That doesn't work for me for a whole bunch of different reasons. But that's what this is doing in the digital world.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the frustration, if somebody comes up and goes, hey, I've seen you around. I got a bunch of questions. Do you mind if we just catch up and grab 10 minutes? And, you know, at Rocky Mountain InfoSec, you know, we sit down, we have a conversation. I have no problems with that. Get to know me, understand who the human is. Or even like, hey, the same way here, I saw the profile on LinkedIn. I noticed I got to approach with caution. Would love to grab a cup of tea. Maybe have something that's worthwhile talking about. If it does, great. If not, no problems. Go in peace. Perfect. Exactly the good way to put it.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. Yeah. And not only didn't that happen, that then caused additional grief, some internal issues,
yeah,
some challenges that I'm still actually stewing and processing. Somebody hit it up on here like, hey, isn't part of your job actually to try to manage risk of internal vendors and spam? Yeah, absolutely is.
Yeah.
But it's not seen that way. And so I am questioning my worth to the organization. No two ways about it. I'm questioning why the hell I'm there. I'm questioning my worth to the organization. I have to look at the leadership that I have above me, and one layer above me is fucking amazing. Above that, now I have to start questioning that, because that's where the critique came in. Yeah. And that pisses me off, because I have three pillars, and two of my pillars are in tatters at the moment, and my one work pillar was in pretty good shape. And I think my frustration is this has shaken the work pillar to a point where I'm kind of annoyed by it, to be honest. And I might be more annoyed than I would do normally, just because of everything else. There's a bit of a hot mess at the moment, but it's definitely when you get a complete, you know, because I was worried when this message went into the organization, to the leadership, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sakes, how much shit's this going to cause?
And you've had to deal with that on multiple occasions, not necessarily a cease and desist, but like, know, people come into Charles and,
Charles other and leadership and go, why the hell do you have that guy there? So that's the frustration. You know, I've had that, yet from a work standpoint, touch wood, my work's been relatively decent to this point for a bunch of different things. And then this happens and I'm like, oh, fuck. Crying out loud. And unfortunately, in one to two cases, the reactions were not kick ass, keep going. They were, to some degree, quite the opposite. Very much more a case of, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And it was like, why are you doing that? We all get spam. Da 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 da. Why retort? Why do this? Just get on and do your job. You know, that's not core to the organization. That is not our mission. That is not our objective. You know, our objective apparently is not to save the world from spam. Kind of get it, but honestly, from a security standpoint, it kind of is.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I have a real problem. And truthfully, at the moment, I don't know what the hell to do about it. I got to be honest. I think yesterday I felt like literally throwing everything out and just saying, fuck it, and walking off into the sunset. And I'm still of that mindset.
Well, I like sunsets, so if you need a partner, sometimes I feel that way too. Especially last week. No. Oh God.
Yeah. And it's, I think here's the other thing, because it unfortunately, it doesn't balance, because on the other hand, I had some fantastic conversations last week, and I got a couple of folks hit me up on LinkedIn and said, hey, we're having the internal struggles. We're making a decision. I got a really freaking awesome message from somebody. And again, I don't want to name names unless they're like, hey, yeah, name us. They're putting a public statement on their website, which I think is fucking brilliant, to say, hey, look, this is how we want to treat other people. This is how we want to treat customers, clients. This is how we want to do this respectfully. I mean, they do that. That goes up on the website. That's going to be a freaking LinkedIn post from my standpoint. I'll be very honest. Mm-hmm. Because it means people are getting heard. Mm-hmm. It means change is occurring. Now, two vendors down, 6,998 vendors to go. We'll get there at some point.
Yeah.
But I think that's where I get frustrated, because it's like, all right, are we really chasing up a blind alley? Are we affecting change? What could we do more? Is this a hill worth dying on? And unfortunately, I feel like it is, because... And I talked about it in the post. We have a hard enough freaking job as it is. And this isn't just a CISO bitch and whine. This is anybody in technology. This is anybody in technology, anybody in leadership, anybody in this industry has a hard enough job as it is, without having all the internal fighting.
Yeah.
And that to me is a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
We have adversaries out there who are better, faster, smarter, more resourced than we are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, who are just looking at us and probably laughing because they're like, you can't even get your own house in order. You're easy picking.
Yeah.
And if we're spending so much of our time and effort having to even just sort the spam out or deal with it or put filters in place or try to not just deal with the spam on the email, but the spam on LinkedIn, the spam on social media, the phone calls to the personal telephone, the text messages to the personal telephone. We're having to spend so much time trying to deal with that, that we don't have enough time to actually do our jobs properly. And doing our jobs properly isn't just being the CISO or being tech. It's also actually selling.
Yeah.
There are people out there who want to sell ethically and morally.
Right.
And so all of this shit gets in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's tough from this seat. It's tough to go, hey, 99 of y'all are relying on an AI tool to choose you. Two of you are actually doing your freaking homework and actually want to approach properly. How the hell do I both disseminate those two, as well as how the hell do I have enough empathy and energy to even fucking listen to you?
100%.
So
100%. Love it. Let's bring on some folks now because I want to give some time for folks. We have two coming on. Ally was on a couple weeks ago. Let's bring him in. He has some questions.
All right. I think Maria's got a question as well. Here we go. Yeah. Ally.
Hey, how's it going, Chris? How's it going, Danny?
Oh, it's another Monday.
Man, that's three this week.
Yeah, hopefully this one is going to be a little bit better. When I've done here, I've got the meeting at the top of the hour, the team meeting at 10. And then I'm planning on heading to the conference. I just need to get in there, see some people. I'm hoping Maria's going to be there because I need a fucking hug. I got to be honest.
Well, I hope you find that hug you're looking for, man.
Me too. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Yeah, I've been up. I'm on the East Coast time now. So hanging out with the baby this morning and then been at it trying to get people's attention. I was actually curious and it kind of intersects with what you're talking about today. So I joined an org recently and we're kind of setting up how we're doing our outreach right now. And there's a setting that's available in Gmail and a couple others called Vimy, which basically certifies you've done like SPF, DKIM, and DMARC. And mm-hmm. then you can put your logo on and it gives you like a blue check mark, stuff like that. And I was curious about your thoughts on that.
So ironically, good timing. We had this conversation internally yesterday at my organization, because apparently on our inbound stuff, we haven't done those checks and balances, which is why so much stuff is getting through and not ending up, or either just not getting ditched or ending up in the spam folders. So I think on one hand, it's useful to do it. I think, it's another level of like, hey, authenticity, efficacy, and a few other things. But that has to be coupled with the right message. It has to be coupled with some background intel, some background research. And when you do, you know this, you and I have had the conversation, which is when you're like, hey, I did some research on you. You actually did the research. You know as well. I mean, you know this as well. We've had offline conversations on this one. So I think it's useful. Or you go in with that open mind going, hey, look, just a heads up. We've done this. We've done this. We've done this. We're trying to be good custodians of both your time, your work, and your efforts. And because of that, this is why we put this stuff in place and this is what we're trying to do. And just, you know, give us a break kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, they're basically, because I think to register for it's like $1,500. Like, do you really need that? And I'm like, and it's interesting. It's like, well, do I? Probably not. Because most of the time, if I message somebody, I've looked at them. I have a conversation about like something they've done usually, and I don't really have a hard time getting opens
To your point, your organization relies on identity management, identity systems, relying on biometrics. Now, so the organization, what you're not selling endpoint, you're doing that. You're actually relying on an identity type solution. So by doing that extra step of proving who you are, what you're doing and everything else, you're following that efficacy that your organization is saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah. If the brand is authenticity, I did everything that I could to prove my authenticity.
Yeah. And I think I like that. Yeah. And that's, And to me, that is one of those things where I think you stand behind it. Like, hey, this is who we are. And this is why we did this. I definitely would say that there's a reason, logic, and an argument to say go for it on that one, especially because, again, it might get you through to more, but at least at the very least, you're like, hey, we stand behind our word, which means we're not just going to spam. We've done this. We've taken the time. We've taken the effort. We've validated who we are. We like have the Google version of the Twitter version of the blue check mark, which isn't just a pay and be done now, which is what the freaking Twitter one is. Let's face it, that one's a shit show in a freaking storm cup.
Yeah, I can't exactly talk about that one, if you catch my drift.
I almost canceled my Twitter account yesterday, day before. I was so frustrated with this whole, with the whole thing. I almost just canned the front, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it because my mother actually follows my Twitter account because she gets the pictures of the dog. So I send them to her anyway, and I totally forget, but she follows my Twitter because of like, she wants to see the pictures of the dogs basically. So I'm like, if I cancel my Twitter, my mother's going to yell at me for I'd have to actually start sending her the pictures of the dogs. Oh, dear. At some point, yeah, by the way, you and I have to have an actual, and I'm not joking on this one, you and I actually have to have a business conversation. It is likely to be next quarter. So, but we do actually have a conversation. I want to mess around with some of the biometric shit. So long conversation, but save that one. Put that in the back of the brain. And let's have that conversation. So, yeah, it's I would say go for it. I'd say it's worth it because, again, where you are, what you're doing, the identity stuff, the biometrics, the privacy, and everything else, you're standing behind it. As simple as that. This is what we do, and this is what we are doing to actually prove that efficacy.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put my stamp on it. Funny. I've always said put your stamp on it, but now I work for a company called Trust Stamp.
You work for a company that allows you to.
Put I'm like, oh man, it's getting too meta.
Oh gosh. Oh gosh.
Awesome. But yeah, I think we are actually meeting next Friday or something. I'm on one of your Fridays.
I'm trying to remember when we can. Yeah, again, you're on the Friday one. Yeah, I apologize. My Friday's a lunacy.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, no, 16th. We're catching up on the 16th. Yay. All right. That was easy.
Yeah.
There you go. So, yeah, we will have a good conversation. Yeah, I got some fun things. Remind me about this. We got some good conversations to have.
Yeah.
And this conversation help facilitate that meeting?
Yeah.
It did, actually, when we chatted a couple of weeks ago. Because I was, honestly, last time when I came on, I was a little like, oh gosh, because we've been like connecting a little bit online for over a year, and I was like, oh, I haven't met these guys yet, which is rare because most of the time I don't care. But I actually like you too, so there's that.
Oh yeah, we like you too.
It's funny. I come with warning labels, but that doesn't, I don't growl too often. I don't growl. I try not to be an ass. I know I can be, but I try not to be an ass. But I'm just trying to go like, here, like, just don't fuck it up. I'm trying to give you every single fucking chance not to screw it up. And I think that's the frustration is when people just blow straight past that, that's when I'm like, WTF. Part of the reason we're doing this one. But then when people don't, it does take those extra two or three breaths to go give somebody a chance. And that's tough because 99 times it's the blow straight past it. And when somebody like you has taken the time and taken the effort, you just want to, you want to take that extra breath, but you want to do it before you end up bashing on the damn keyboard. And it's really freaking tough. And then like this last Monday's shit show doesn't help the situation. It puts those barriers back up again, and you feel like you're at a point where you're like, you've almost got to get back into that defensive situation, which I don't want to do. I just don't want to do.
There's almost space for, because honestly, like, people doing it poorly, for all of us that are out here trying to get attention, like, you're like, hey, look, I want to help you. Talk to me for 30 seconds. If there's no space for us to work together, cool. I don't want to waste anybody's time. I spent 5 minutes writing an email that went to your spam folder because of all these other people that are, you know, just sending you garbage.
And that sucks because there are good people out there. And it's, you know, and again, that one of the retorts back to me on Monday was, you know, pretty much, so why the hell are you looking in your spam folder? I'm like, and I didn't say much because I'm, I don't need to get into an argument where I literally just will just throw my fucking computer back at them and say, I'm done with your shit. But the end, the challenge is I want to look in my spam folder because there's good stuff in there. There's a ton of shit in there. But occasionally you find something, you're like, holy shit, I actually do want to have this conversation. Same thing with LinkedIn. You know, the upside with LinkedIn is at least the in-mail stuff, you know, you can 75, 85% of the time, either you look at the It's Easy in-mail or it's a very nice, pretty, in my case, it's a very nice, pretty Asian lady typically that I'm getting at the moment. Apparently LinkedIn's going through an Asian phase when some very nice ladies from of Asian origins or descent apparently are very interested in me, myself, my resume, my insights, and my life. So those are fairly easy to weed out and filter out. But it sucks because I don't want to have to go through that. I don't want to have to deal with dealing with that, which is honestly why that Dear Vendor letter came out. Because I would literally go through going, don't want to deal with that, Dear Vendor, do you want to deal with it? Oh, I do want to deal with that. Put that off to the side. So it's frustrating. Very.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, I mean, spam folder, I've had job offers in my spam folder. That's where they ended up just because something about the settings of their email just ended up with it landing there. It's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
I messaged it back. I was like, hey, was that coming today? And they're like, yeah, we sent it. Oh. And it's, I mean, when really good stuff that you were waiting for ends up in your spam folder, you have to look at it.
And I think that's where it's a challenge because, again, I don't think it matters which side of the fence you're on or where you sit. It's how much do I have to ratchet my settings down, not just to protect me from all the Viagra and all the princes and all of the other stuff, but also for all of the just how much and then how much am I missing? You know, and that's where I get, it sucks. And it sucks when we're doing it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I have the biggest problem. I can deal with princes all day telling me that I won billions. So it's kind of fun. I can deal with the Viagra every single day, but I can't deal with it when we're doing it to ourselves. That's when I have a problem with it.
100%. Yeah. Ally, it's so great to see you on the show.
Yeah.
Like, good luck with the meeting.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, great chatting with you guys again.
Yeah, I'll catch up with you in a week and change.
Weeks. Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, awesome. You take care.
You too.
All right, let's bring on CPAD, who's been chatting it up here on the show, but he has some things he wants to share with us, Chris.
Go for it.
Hey. little bit dark on the camera here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
hear we you. Got you. We can see you. Fabulous hat.
Loving the hat as well. You're awesome.
Always.
You're awesome. I feel like
so Chris, I took, you know, the vendor rebuff. I think I heard it back on one of David Sparks' thing, Andy Ellis. So I had the same thing. I had the snarky kind of, you know, don't send me this, don't send me that. I, similar to you, I revised it back down to, hey, fill out this form. So I put that in the chat. And it was interesting that I would say, hey, I don't have time for this right now, but, you know, maybe we're looking at this product in the future. I was shocked that, you know, when I first put it up there, maybe 1 in 10 vendors actually filled that out. And the thing is, what's in that form is what I'm probably going to ask them in the first 15-minute conversation they're asking for anyway. It's like, how big is your company? How long have you been around? What do you do that's different? Why would I want to use this product versus something else, you know, if it's a startup? So I was quite shocked that the BDRs weren't figuring that out. And then there was some chatter in the chat there. It's like, well, then what do you do? I said, well, guess what? Whoever took the time to go fill that out, when I am in the market for a product, guess which list I'm going to first. They're all pre-screened. I know who, you know, where they are. At least it gives me a sense where they are in the market. Yeah. Maybe it is 6 months later. You know, how are you guys doing? Have you gotten bigger or smaller? That's been pretty effective for me. But, you know, I think some of your advice is been very good. I need to be more coaching, having been on the sales side as well. But I'm a CTO and CISO, so I get double the pleasure, double the fun, everything from hosting to God knows what else. So,
yeah, I'm still getting messages in about air conditioning systems and engineering. I'm like, y'all probably should look at do me a favor, just get some basics done, for crying out loud.
But yeah. LinkedIn is a mess though. I can't, because I'm open for, you know, students and mentoring and things like that. I just get crammed now. And so I'm literally looking at some RPA and my own GPT algorithms that's going to start running my my LinkedIn inbox for me and probably sending back the same canned messages you and I are talking about.
Yeah, it's tough. And I'll share, hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm happy to share the two canned messages. Take bits of it, use bits of it or whatever. I mean, they're up on LinkedIn, but I'll shoot them over to you. Shoot me a note and I'll just send you the doc straight away. I'm tempted to put a third one. But I'm not going to do it from the corporate account because basically, as far as they're concerned, we're done. But I'll do it from personal. I'll probably do it from LinkedIn. But I kind of want to do two things. One, I'm going to shorten it down. It'll literally be like two sentences. And I think to your point, it's like, hey, we are looking for stuff, but this isn't the way to do it. And by the way, canned spam act, folks, tends not to get implemented, but it's out there, little buddies. Yeah, just remember that, please. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. It's
just timing, right? I may not be looking for this tool right now, and in 6 months I will be. But you know, just fill out that form. I'll call you when I'm in the market.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Yeah, whoever the LinkedIn is that George again. Yeah, the BDRs are not incentivized to engage meaningfully, and that's the challenge. It's a churn and burn model. I mean, Danny, we've all talked about this, and it's. How do we get to the people that are running those folks and go, hey, you're doing nothing more than pissing off an entire industry. You're not, just stop it. You know, how the hell do we get that message to whoever the hell's running those people demanding those metrics?
Sadly, because we know this works or we wouldn't get the King Joffy Joffer spam either. It only takes one or two people to actually respond positively. Yeah. And then when they pull the metrics out, they say, we sent out 1,000 emails and two of them hit. Well, that for most of those guys at that cost model, it makes enough sense. So I don't see how you stop it. We have to put it shields up on our side. We're going to have to come up with better ways of managing through it.
Yeah, it sucks though. And that's it. You're fighting generations of indoctrination that's pushed down. And that is 100% nail on the head.
It's cost. If it costs me like a couple pennies to send out 1,000 emails, and I get one response and that closes a $100,000 deal. That's worth it, right?
I get it. But I'm just, you're pissing off, you know, probably 900 people don't care. It goes to spam. 99 of us are like, motherfucker.
What's the cost of pissing people off? that should be a metric.
Yeah. And I mean, that's literally it. How many people responded? How many people do you piss off? No, I know. I don't have a good solution. The only thing I take heart from is that I've had some really good conversations outside of just all of us talking. I've had some people reach out to me and say, hey, we listen, we heard, we're adjusting, we're doing opt-in, we're doing this, we're putting stuff on the website, we're changing, we're fighting change. And I think that's at least I get some heart from, that at least there are some folks that want to do more.
I've seen, Chris, is it's driving you, people like you and me. I'm a member of about four or five closed CISO communities now, mm-hmm. where we talk about the vendors on our own. And I think that's making a lot harder for some of the more innovative startups to get in there because, you know, we're isolated and we're kind of doing our own thing. But that's the shift that's happening. I'm probably three or four different Slacks now.
Yeah.
You know, you and I and a couple of us are just networked, you know, on LinkedIn. Yeah, but
totally.
That's where I go. I go to that group, say, hey, have you ever heard of so-and-so? And they're getting smart. Even those like tight-knit communities are getting smart and saying, hey, maybe we do make little vendor forms for them to come in and pitch if it's a startup and give feedback, or, you know, if it's a larger company, like when I work with RSA, here's where you guys could do better, that type of thing. I think that's where the market's going to head. Just because the inbox stuff is getting stupid.
Oh, it is. It's crazy. And I mean, that's it. Maria's got a good point as well, which is, it isn't just sales. It's the marketing folks. You know, I remember, and I'll name names because Ativo and Calvio, Ativo, you know, they had a level of efficacy about them for a while. And then they started going off on like all sorts of coming up with different acronyms because they wanted to make themselves unique in the marketplace. And then they would spam it out. And I'm sitting there on stage saying, don't do this shit. And then behind the scenes, the CMO just pushing the fucking connect button. It's you're just like, good grief alive. So it's tough because, again, I've built companies where the only time we've done sales is relationships. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. And guess what? We did pretty good at it. You know, it's, I don't know. It's, I don't feel like I can't, I won't give up on this.
So here's what I pitched to one of, when I was in sales at one of the orgs. I said, stop letting these BDRs send out these kind of blind emails, like offer something like a briefing, you know, with somebody like me where I can talk executive to executive and say, hey, here's some interesting things I'm seeing. And it's a 15-minute briefing versus I'm just trying to get your demographics. I'm wondering if that has more value than...
I think it does. I think it does. Yeah, I think absolutely does. Because I've done some of those as well before. And I love them because it's like the round table. You get 5 to 10 folks and you're like, hey, sponsored by these folks, this is what we're going to talk about. And if you want to learn more, this is where we're at. This is what we're up to. Happy to engage. Happy to give you more info. Happy to do stuff. But you know what? Go in peace. And hopefully this is useful to you. You know what I mean? Yeah. And those are easy because you can go, I mean, I'll get them every now and again inbound. I've got a couple that came in last couple of days. One, actually, ironically, from an Intel provider that I don't want to do business with because I hate their pricing model because it's all over the place. But I, you know, they sent me an inbound one going, hey, this is actually really cool stuff that's happening in the aviation industry. I'm like, I love it. I appreciate it. And I really want to respond back going, hey, I just wish your pricing model was fucking better. But that's a different conversation. And so,
hey, but they got feedback out of that. That's good.
I think that's it. They got feedback and it's actually positive feedback. Hopefully they'll take something with it, but I appreciate it because it's a briefing. It's a briefing with no strings attached. It's a briefing with no, the pre-register things. Another one's like, hey, attend our briefing. And hey, we need 20 different things. Like, hey, here's the briefing. Get your ass in. End of conversation. And if it's useful, keep in touch with us. Simple as that. Yep. I mean, that doesn't take much effort.
But then you have to work with the BDRs and build a scheduling tool. It's just a different, back to what you said, is they need to revise their model past the spam model and come up with something more creative.
Yeah, exactly.
That may be the solution, I guess.
Oh, man, I wish.
This is great, and the chat is blowing up with some of my favorite people. We have to have a separate conversation with this side conversation. I wish we could bring it on, but we have literally like 8 minutes left, and I want to get imparting thoughts here. But CPAT, thanks for joining us.
Brilliant. This is absolutely, you're awesome.
Thanks for bringing me on, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Good to see y'all.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
We need to get a list of folks on that we need to get on this thing.
You know what we might do? We might, you remember how we did that three set series for audience first on building relationship capital?
Oh, the panel.
We should have a WTF panel. Thoughts, folks.
All right, WTF panel. Loving it.
And we can have a series on these exact issues blowing up in the chat. Actually,
to that point, maybe we just do an open Q&A. To that point, we do an open Q&A because there's some, I mean, I love the conversations. Yeah, mashup. There we go. Perfect way of putting it.
So let's see. Just FYI, folks, Chris and I are meeting next week. Again, we're going to be doing a validation panel with some audience first clients. You are flying out back on the 13th at night, but we might have to push WTF from Wednesday maybe to Thursday. I have to see because next week is crazy with AWS happening in Anaheim.
Come on, don't push it, we're sticking on Wednesday.
Let me see. I think we'll be able to, no, actually we're good. Let me see.
All right.
Yeah, we're good. We could do it on Wednesday. No, because I have like triple bookings on Wednesday, but we're all good. Next week we could do the Q&A.
I like that.
Next week's episode will be Q&A.
All right, somebody just said they'll take over my cursing. I love that. You're awesome.
Oh, yes. We don't censor here. We're good.
No, I try not to curse too much. One does get one's message from one's mother going, Christopher?
Well, my father watches this and he loves it, so.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll see him next week. All right, yeah, we are running on time just ahead.
Okay, we're running on time. Last thoughts to the audience, something you want to impart on the audience today, Chris?
Don't give up. This is a bitter pill and a hard one for me to swallow. And I'm probably saying it more for me than for anybody else. I think don't give up. You know, this is it the hill to die on? I don't know. To some degree, I think it is. And it isn't just about spam and about messaging and about that. It's as an industry, we spend too much time infighting.
Yeah.
As an industry, we spend too much time at each other's throats rather than helping each other, rather than working collaboratively with each other, rather than cooperating, rather than listening. It's a hard one, and I'm probably going to replay this part. I don't ever listen to it, but I might replay. But it's that don't give up. And it's tough because, you know, when you think the only person that you have to talk with about this is the industry itself, and then you realize you're also going to have that conversation with your own internal leadership at the organization, that's a tough one. And I'm still figuring it out. I'm still noodling on it. My immediate reaction was definitely not a positive reaction. I'm very, very glad I have Milo, let's put it that way at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's tough with all the other shit that's going on. Shaking the job pillar is not one that I was actively looking to have done, shall we say.
Yeah. I love that. I'd also say just, I think I said this actually a few times on separate episodes, just don't be a dick.
Oh my God.
A big one, you know, treat people as human. And, you know, maybe the human thing is to lash out, but think about those consequences of what you're doing too, how you're responding.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's annoying in some ways because, I mean, I think both a bunch of their cease and desist was simply about, you know, I think they were, you know, I use it. I'm like, hey, this has gone on the podcast. But again, if you'd have done your analysis and you figured it out, we don't really, if ever, there's a couple of companies that are going to get named no matter what, but 99.9% are never going to get named because that's just not how, I don't need everybody here chasing after them, to be honest.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating, but yeah, I think that the don't give up, it's tough. I'll figure it out. I gotta figure that one out myself more than anything else at the moment. So no, I appreciate these are very cathartic. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, well, we couldn't do this with the audience because this is great. I think we've averaged like 160 comments an episode, so that's really great.
Just bloody amazing, and I love you all, so thank you and appreciate it.
All right, folks, that's the end of the episode. It's a pleasure having you. Next week, Q&A, roundtable. I don't know what we're calling it, but it's gonna be fun.
It's a mashup. I think Ray Graham said it. It's a roundtable mashup. I love it. Yeah. That works perfectly for me.
Great. Be ready next week, folks. Come prepared with questions, comments. We'll just drill down and dig in.
All right. Everybody take care. Stay safe.
This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are out.